WildTalkRadio.com. Welcome, everyone, to Monday Night Raw.
Wild Talk Radio presents to you the Monday Night Raw post-show.
So, what do you guys want to talk about?
Featuring Sir Rockin'.
If you're the man, what the Rock is cooking.
And Lindsay Ward.
Rest in peace.
Interact with us live and give us your thoughts on everything that happens on Monday Night Raw.
And that's the bottom line, because Stone Cold said so.
And if you're not down with that, we got two words for you.
Because we believe in doing what is best for all of you.
Because after all, what's best for all of you is what's best for business.
Now step into the ring with us for the Raw Post Show.
This is Monday Night Raw!
Burn it down!
Things sure took a turn tonight on Monday Night Raw as we head in to Money in the Bank. Congrats to the Panthers. They stopped the history from happening, so congrats to them. This is the Raw Post Show, presented as always by MPG Films, youtube.com/MPG1211. Chat, if you have that Amazon Prime, link it to your Twitch account. It's called Prime Gaming. Support the channel by clicking the purple rectangular button below the screen and sharing your subscriptions. Or you can use carry code RocketSock or Lindsay Ward in the Fortnite item shop when you buy Pirates of the Caribbean coming up. They're going to have a battle pass. Metallica's still there. Nikkei 30 still there. And so much other stuff.
I knew you'd come.
Lindsay Ward just subscribed with Prime. Happy?
Yes, because hashtag epic partner. I'm the producer. Thanks, Lindsay, for 49 months.
You're welcome. I have confetti.
You have confetti. See, that's why you share it. You get confetti. Emote confetti.
Woo! Emote confetti. So, I like how he makes me do that.
Yep. So, Chet, last week on Monday Night Raw, it ended with the shooting of one Chad Gable. rest in peace. I asked people who do not watch wrestling, and they confirmed that yes, it did in fact look like he was shot. So sources will confirm that. But yeah, good news. He was not shot in the head. He is actually on Monday Night Raw. He was a little unsettled, a little bit coming out on Monday Night Raw with Chad Gable. They were checking on him. He was looking behind himself a lot. But he was ready, willing, and able to compete in a triple threat match to get into the Money in the Bank ladder match. He had two monsters that he had to go up against. Braun Strowman and Bronson Reed. He had interferences from the Judgment Day's Dominic, Finn, JD, and Carlito. And in the end, Chad Gable is headed to Money in the Bank.
He was very excited. He was very happy, but the happiness was short-lived. Because, well, they're here.
So the lights went out. Smoke fills the arena. The for whom the bell tolls begins to play as the once Nikki Cross crawls into the ring. Chad Gable, while all this is happening, is checking his head, which is great storytelling. Like, he's just holding his head because he knows where he was shot, supposedly. But he's holding the head, checking it every single time. So there is a wound there of some kind that sticks with him, which is great storytelling. Nikki crawls into the ring. Chad Gable falls in the corner, gets out of the ring. Nikki slides out of the ring and puts a package in front of Michael Cole.
Who's very confused.
who is very confused. And then we come back from break. We should know Pat McAfee was not on the program, as he has been warned that, you know, he lied and stuff. And in his hometown, he was not on the show. But he was. There was a box delivered to Pat McAfee via to Michael Cole. And inside the box had a VHS tape, which they had to explain, hey, this device is like 25 years old. And we have to find, hope that someone can find a VHS machine so we can play this tape.
The second he pulled the VHS out, I was like, oh, this is going to be a litmus test to see who knows who this is and who doesn't. Right here. This is a test for everybody. Who remembers those and who doesn't?
If that didn't make you feel old, I don't know what.
Yeah. Yeah, it kind of did, because I was like, oh, God, there are kids out there that they don't even know what that is.
Before we get to what's on the tape, Chad Gable was backstage. He knocked on the Alpha Academy door. Otis came out, and Maxine and Tozawa, and he's like, my life flashed before my eyes, but I saw all of you guys. You're my family. I was wrong. I may have stepped over the line once or twice, and I'm sorry. We're families fight, but they stick together. Otis like, anyone who hurts Dupree and Maxine and Tozawa is not family. He meant what he said. They're done. They all entered the locker room, except for Maxine, who told Gable that he heard Otis, who saw him as a big brother. Dupree said that what happened to Gable must have been terrifying. She said she thinks Otis just needs some time and she would talk to him. And Dupree said she was sorry about what happened to Chad. As Chad turned around, the Creeds and Ivy Nile just happened to be there. And
asked convenient.
What was wrong. He said he needed help. So there was that.
And it looks like he may not get it from the Alpha Academy, but we'll have to see, because Maxine playing Peacekeeper. But yeah, I like the consistency with this. I love Chad Gable kind of like touching his forehead. You could see the wound on the side of his head where they had like bandaged it up, you know, made it look like he had been in fact hurt there. I mean, like, there was a lot of really good stuff going on with this. But yeah, the whole like eerie atmosphere of Nikki Cross just appearing out of nowhere and just delivering the tape to Michael Cole. Because it was like you could actually see the outfit, like the costume that she has.
Yeah.
And you can tell that it is meant for wrestling, like that she will be able to work in that. But like just the whole eeriness of her dropping that thing off, because her mask is just, I don't know why I find it especially creepy, but I do, like out of all of them. But that wasn't the best part of this.
No. So I wanted to wrap up the Gable stuff so we can get to this. So they found someone who could, you know, had a VHS machine, or what they is called a VCR.
Again, old.
To play this videotape. And then you see Uncle, it's all staticky. It's all like old style, old videotape style. Uncle Hal is speaking with a very distorted voice and asked, are you happy? And whether you've been lost since the loss. He asks if you feel forgotten or remember who you are. And then they do a cut to Bo. Goes, I am nobody. Howdy goes, there you are. He talked about, asked how felt how when his brother died. And Bo's like, he was the most important thing in his life, was taken from him. Nothing else would matter. And then they brought up the topic everyone wants to know. Do you, if he was exploiting his brother's legacy. Bo was like, all I ever wanted to be was like my brother. I looked up to him. I wanted to be him. I worked my entire life just to get the opportunity to be next to him. They finally made it. And then it all was taken away. There's no one else on earth who feels the loss more than him, nor feels what he feels. He asked, what's he supposed to do? He said if he should let everyone forget what he fought for and what he believed in. There was something about him, you know, just let him be in a mausoleum or something. He said they wanted him to forget, but we made them all remember. Uncle Howdy goes, yes, we did. And then there's a shot of the two of them face to face as it cuts out and goes to break.
And they're in the funhouse. This was probably the best way you could do this again. They just got right to the point. Like, no beating around the bush, no anything, you know, that, you know, just calling that out, calling that red, that, you know, elephant in the room out, so to speak, about Bray's legacy and Bray's death and, you know, them exploiting it and them using it, which they're not.
No.
They're not. And I think, I think that's been my biggest reservation about this whole thing is how they're going to handle that. Because the one thing I didn't want to see happen is that exploitation of it, so to speak, where it's like they're walking out and they're saying, we did it for The Rock. We did it for the people. We're doing it for Bray, right? To honor Bray, to honor his legacy, to do all this. We're doing it for him, right? I didn't want to see that because then it's the constant reminder that he's gone.
Yeah.
With this, it's you got the reminder and it hurt, but ultimately it was, no, that's not what this is about. It's like, yes, Bray is gone and they acknowledge that he's gone, but they also say that the real point and purpose behind all of this is that something else was lost. And there are people who have been lost in the system, and it's about the system. It's not about Bray. And that's the point.
Yeah.
That it ties back to him, it's honoring him, but ultimately this is their own thing and it will be their own thing. And it was just really cool to see, to have, like, you got to see Taylor Rotunda's acting chops, which we knew he had based on how he used to play Bo Dallas. But like to see the difference between Taylor and, or at least TV Taylor and Uncle Howdy, was really, really cool to watch. It was there was like such a difference between the two that it absolutely worked. And we also got a good look at Uncle Howdy in the new look. And I gotta say, that jacket is dope. Like the whole, because the one thing is like you kind of saw him at the end of last week, and then I've seen pictures of him, and it's like the one thing that bothered me about it was the mask and how he didn't necessarily have anything to kill, like this, you could see a little bit of skin around his eyes. And so, like, you could tell very clearly he's wearing a mask. But on this one, they did a better job on the makeup. And they had more of his, like, had tried to blend it in more. But, yeah, this was super good.
This is great because you could see Uncle High not only as his alter ego, but as Bray talking to Bo as well. Yeah.
Yeah.
It's compelling. Yeah. And that's what it needs to be. And it's, you could tell, for those wondering, it's very real and reality based. It's, they kind of made it clear. It's not supernatural. It's not hocus pocus. It's a very real thing that they're going to tell. They're going to be destructive, but they're also going to be compelling, which will make great television.
Oh, it's going to make fantastic television. I think what will be another test for it is how much we get of Uncle Howdy versus either Taylor Rotunda or Bo Dallas. Whichever name he's going to use, because I'm not sure which name he's going to use. I would assume Taylor Rotunda at this point, but it's hard to know. So, like, if he's going to kind of do what Bray did with the Firefly Funhouse and the fact that you had Funhouse Bray and then you had the Fiend, if you're going to get something similar between Taylor and Uncle Howdy, or if Uncle Howdy is just that he's the leader and that's it. Like, and that's the only time we really get to see Taylor, or we have, like, cut-ins of Taylor. And you have the reversal where Uncle Howdy is in reality and Taylor Rotunda is just, like, a figment of his imagination.
I get this.
And we get more stuff like that.
I feel like we're going to get a bunch of things like this, but not with Taylor.
No.
But with them all.
That would be cool. I'd be okay with that.
I think this is just a feeling. Every week we're going to get someone else's story, because this was Bo's story, Taylor's story. Uncle Howdy's going to probably introduce us to everyone behind who they are. Because you got to do it. Because we know who they are. We're smart. The internet's very smart. We know who these people are. But why is Dexter now this? Why is Eric Rowan this? Why is Nikki who she is?
I think with Nikki, they have been telling the story for a while where she had just been like catatonic. Like they had been showing her as just catatonic.
Yeah, but I'm just saying they're going to tell us the backstories of everybody. Which is what they need to do.
But like with Nikki, I feel like they've been trying to do this turn for a while.
Yeah. But I think each week you're going to, I would hope, we get more of the backstory of why everyone is who they're becoming. Why they were forgotten.
Yep.
In any event, moving on. More Money in the Bank qualifiers include Lyra Valkyrie, Shayna Baszler, Kairi Sane. Lyra picked up the win, is headed to Money in the Bank.
Kind of what we were all figuring was going to happen with her after she didn't win the title.
Yeah.
Which I'm not mad at all.
No, not mad at. It's kind of what was expected. Kind of what should have been, as it were. So there's that. The WWE Women's Tag Team Champions were in action. Alba Fire, Isla Dawn took on Kayden and Katana. The champions got the win. Afterwards, they were attacked by Io, Kyrie, and Dakota.
Damage control out here, making moves.
Yeah.
Trying to reestablish dominance.
Which is what they needed to do.
Yeah. So get them back on track.
Getting them focused again. You could send Kyrie and Dakota after the tag titles, which is what you need to do. Speaking of getting people back on track, Karrion Kross, Kofi Kingston happened. Xavier Woods got beat down backstage, leading to Karrion Kross picking up the win.
The best part of all of this today has been Xavier just like sending out stuff where he's like, I don't want to go to work. I just don't want to go to work. Like, there's weird shit going on. I just don't want to be there.
Yeah.
Like, what the hell? And then this happens. And he was like, knew it.
I knew it.
Shouldn't have gone. I knew it. Like, that intuition, you just know you shouldn't have to go, or you shouldn't go.
But, you know, he did anyhow.
Because he's contractually obligated. Yeah. Can we just talk about real quickly, in case you missed the video, he's talking about things. Did you notice that he put in there that, like, in their contracts, it says assault is okay?
Yeah, it's got to be in our contract that assault's okay. Yeah, yeah. That's the only reason it makes sense.
I was like, that's such a cool little continuity thing, you know?
Yeah.
Like, that was pretty awesome.
Yeah, it was. It was. Braun Breaker, Ludwig Kaiser. Ludwig Kaiser said he would prove to everyone that he's destined for greatness and that Breaker is not him. And they two had a hell of a battle till Sheamus got involved, causing a no contest. There were some impressive feats by Kaiser and Breaker in this match.
This Breaker was good. I wouldn't mind seeing this again, honestly.
Breaker would end up spearing Sheamus to end things, and then he got into a shouting match with Adam Pearce, who then, you know, he's sick of people getting involved in his matches. He wants the Intercontinental title. Sammy showed up, and Braun turned around, challenged him to a title match at Money in the Bank, and Adam Pearce made it official.
Ding!
Good stuff.
Very good stuff.
So Monday Night Raw opened up with one Drew McIntyre. No entrance or nothing. He just came through the crowd. He said everyone was talking about how he quit last week, but they're not talking about that now. He said what he did on SmackDown was so good that he wanted to see it, and we saw it. The beatdown on CM Punk. He prayed for this, and the big man made it happen. That would mean him. He said he's done with the fans who have been chanting CM Punk's name for months. He said the fans listen to him say what kind of person Punk is, and saw Punk screw him over at WrestleMania in front of his friends and family in his home country. McIntyre said anyone who chants Punk's name is dead to him. McIntyre then spoke to CM Punk directly. He said he hopes Punk is uncomfortable in pain and is being fed through a straw. He said that he did that to Punk. He said he also stole this, a bracelet that has AJ and Larry's name written on it, which got a Larry chant from the crowd. He said the bracelet is worth 50 cents, but a fan made it. He said it had Punk's wife and his stupid-looking dog's name, Larry, on it. That's where the chant happened. He said he would end Money in the Bank. He would win it while Punk was alone in pain and miserable. He put the bracelet around his waist and said it's no longer his own. He said it has Punk's wife's and dog's in his corner. He said he would win Money in the Bank and then cash in the same night and become the World Heavyweight Champion, spy Punk. And then he kissed the bracelet and left.
This was so good. Drew McIntyre in his villain era again. Yes, we are back. Like, it's such a simple little thing. It's such a subtle little thing to do this. But because he acknowledged it's just a cheap little bracelet, right? It doesn't really mean anything to anyone anywhere except for Punk because it has his family on it. Like, that's it. Mm-hmm. So, like, I liked how they did this. I enjoyed how they did this. It's very good.
Drew argued with Adam later. Pearce was like, you don't deserve it. You disrupted both shows. McIntyre said if he deserved what Punk has done to him. McIntyre believes that Pearce will do the right thing, or he'll find out what the meaning of disruption is if he did not. So, there you go. Then, let's see. Then there's all this. Let's talk about throughout the show the other storyline that happened. Judgment Day.
Oh, this story.
So Dom is eating chicken nuggets or something with Finn and JD and Carlito playing WWE 2K24. New characters dropping this week. Damian showed up and, you know, he said these were all gifts from Liv. Carlito said Morgan helped him with this match last week, so she can't be all that bad. And Damien asked Dom what the distractions from, when will they end? Dom then showed a priest of something on his phone, and Carlito, well, that's cool. Priest said Dom would need to explain to Rhea how Morgan got his phone number. Dom's like, I don't know how she got it. Priest said he would end things, he should end things with Morgan tonight. And then Priest was like, you guys haven't handled Braun yet, so maybe you should stop playing games or something. You know, getting them focused.
Rubbing them up, you know, basically be like, hey, you're being an idiot.
So then
just do it.
Just then the women's world champion, and we saw what they did, they got involved in stuff earlier. We talked about more stuff to come. Liv Morgan came to the ring, called out Dom. Zelina came out instead. Zelina said she doesn't know why Liv is obsessed with Rhea Ripley's sloppy seconds and Dominic Mysterio. Vega said that while Morgan is chasing the Dirty D, she is chasing the Women's World Championship. Morgan said nothing means more to her than the title. Vega says Morgan acts like all she cares about is having fun. Morgan says, what's wrong with having fun? Zelina is like, Liv is scheming for opportunities while she has star for hers. Zelina said Liv is putting the title, her title on the line. Sounds like fun to her, though. Want to see it? She asked. Morgan said she'd love to, but, you know, not this week. We'll do it next week. I'm in the middle of something. And she tries to call out Dom. Dom comes out. Every time he talks, you know, he gets booed. Morgan asked Dom if you know, you like the gifts. And he's like, I got them. I didn't like them. Did you like the text? He's like, no. She opened the ropes for him. Sloppy seconds chant. Zelina said if Liv was too afraid to fight, she didn't need to bring her man out to get in the way. Dom said, I'm not her man. But he wanted to help if they were going to fight for the title. He wanted to help Zelina. You know, I know you and Rhea had differences, but he wants anyone other than Liv to have the title. Liv attacked Zelina then, and Rhea came out to pull him apart. Dom shoved his father down, and people were mad. Liv, though, was very happy.
Her plan is working.
It is. So Dom's walking backstage, telling Liv to leave him alone, and Morgan thanked Dom for being her hero. She said Dom saved her from his deadbeat dad. Dom said he just doesn't like him. Liv said now she knows that Dom wants this just as badly as she does. She hugged Dom. He was like, and then walked away. R-Truth shows up, talked about Dom being the reluctant hero, and said all those are all the best kind. Truth said he loves it when love is in the air. He said, you know, Dom seems to be playing hard to get. Morgan said she wanted to do something nice for Dom and his friends. She said she was going to get Dom a match against his father next week and asked Truth if he could get a tag team title match for Finn and JD. Truth agreed and told him, make sure you get approved by Adam Pearce. And then he thanked Carmella because he thinks it was Carmella. So there was that.
Miz was not amused. He was not happy.
Meanwhile, The Miz, who's been on commentary in place of Pat McAfee tonight, leaves commentary, catches up with R-Truth, and have you talked to Pierce yet? And he's like, yeah. He did it. He talked about love. He did it for love. He called it a classic rom-com. Miz said he does not care about Liv and Dom. It's about them. Truth said he loves Miz, but only as a friend.
Friend-zoned.
More on that in a minute, but the World Heavyweight Champion Damian Priest came out. He said we had a nice video package on Seth Rollins and what everything was about, and he talked about it. Priest said he sees someone in Seth Rollins that he doesn't want to become, though. Priest asked the fans to let me break it down. He said he doesn't want to stand in the ring and see his successor who's bigger, stronger, and better. Priest said Rollins is great, but he won't see the mountaintop again as long as he is the World Heavyweight Champion. This brought out Seth freaking Rollins. He asked the fans if they believed the bull crap out coming out of Priest's mouth, and they were like, no. He said he and the fans don't buy Priest because his words and actions don't match up. Rollins said Priest claims he doesn't want help, but he needed help in his title offenses, or he wouldn't even still be champion. Priest said he understands that opinion, but he didn't ask for anyone's help, and people just got involved. Rollins said he wasn't there to run Priest down, and said that he's a lot of respect from them, but he doesn't appreciate being one-upped. He said Priest did that last week by offering him a title match. He respects it and it was a bold move, but now he wants to be the one to one-up Priest by swinging the pot. This does not have to get approved by Adam Pearce. It's just a gentleman's agreement. He said if Priest wins, he'd get his wish and Rollins would never challenge for the World Heavyweight title as long as Damian Priest was the champion. But if Rollins wins, Damian Priest must leave the Judgment Day. Rollins said they could find out if Priest really could walk a mile in his shoes. Priest laughed it off and said, "Okay, fine." He said he's the champion. That means Judgment Day needs him a whole lot more than he needs them. As they shook on it, Gunther showed up, said he respected their gentleman's agreement. He wished both men good luck and said he can't wait to see their match. And may the better man win. But at SummerSlam, the better man will be him.
Damien getting a little cocky. Actually, more than a lot cocky. Yeah. I mean, you can kind of see the change up in the Judgment Day. You see it coming, like how they're setting it up with Carlito coming in. And you see where the faction is going.
Mm-hmm.
So Damien, and the fact that Damien has lost control of it, right? Like, he doesn't have a firm hand on the reins, and so they're having more and more problems. There's more and more drama. He can't get the Liv situation handled, you know, all these other things. And with Rhea's return now imminent, you have to wonder if, well, Damien isn't going to see himself drummed out of the Judgment Day for his choices, but we'll have to wait and see on that. But yeah, this was all very good. This was quality television. I enjoy this immensely. Especially, I liked how they were like, let's just make it a gentleman's agreement, you know, and just shake on it.
Yeah.
So I can go back on it later.
Exactly.
Because it's not official.
Feels like we might be heading towards a screwjob by Finn to expel Damien, especially with what Damien has been saying. Then we get Rollins versus Gunther at SummerSlam that was teased earlier this year. You never know. Maybe. Or this is just an added bonus to what happens at Money in the Bank. I don't know. We'll see.
This is a question. It's if Damien loses the title or if Damien loses, he's out.
Good question. I would assume it's the title.
Because, like, the technicality, like, LeMans brings up is if Damien loses because of the Judgment Day and he has to leave, like, that could be the turn, is he just beats them all down for it because he's like, you almost fucked me over, but you didn't. And that's a way you can have him keep the title, you can keep him strong, but you get him out and away from Judgment Day.
Yeah. Then your main event was Finn Balor and JD McDonagh challenging for the Raw Tag, the WWE World Tag Team titles against Miz and R-Truth. Interference from Braun Strowman, interference from Dom and Carlito, and Liv Morgan distracting R-Truth, gave him a hug, then dropped him across the top rope, allowing Finn Balor and JD McDonagh to get the win. One thing should mention, there was a moment where Liv told Finn what was going on. But you don't see that part, only her leaving the locker room. Damien catches Finn alone with Liv, in a way.
So could they be setting things up?
And Finn's like, yeah, don't, everything's fine. She's just giving us stuff. It's cool. It works for me. So yeah, good stuff.
This was an excellent show. We are on the road to Money in the Bank. We are moving forward. We've got stuff simmering. It's cooking. It's very entertaining. Like, they did the probably the best follow-up they could for the Wyatt Six stuff, just in terms of you're not ready to throw them out there, you're not ready to have them sort of beat people up yet beyond what they did last week, but you're just not going to have them run out and like attack somebody every week. You're building interest, you're building the story, you're introducing them properly, and you're adding that interest to it.
Yeah, and Liv came back out and celebrated with them. Finn was like, all right, cool.
Well, I mean, after they saw the nude photo, I think they were fine.
Yeah,
because for sell of the night, that goes to them, because mm-hmm. you know they're looking at like a blank screen or something stupid, and they're all just like selling it like it's a naked picture of Liv. So
yeah,
well done.
So that was Raw.
That was indeed the Monday Night Raw.
But that will do it for the Raw Post Show, live right here on the Wild Talk Radio Network. Thursday night, we're back live for 12 years of the Rack.
Hard to believe it's 12 years, but tune in. We'll have news, we'll have notes, and we have a special segment just for y'all. It's The Rack, Thursday night, 10 p.m. Eastern, right here on WallTalkRadio.com.
The producer's cooking something.
He's in the kitchen as we speak.
Yep. Friday night, GM Battles, 10 p.m. Eastern. Saturday night, 10 p.m. Eastern, WTR Game Night, followed by CB Raider Live at 11:30 p.m. Eastern. Sunday night is the WTR Fantasy Draft during Russell Talk Radio at 10 p.m. Eastern. We'll be back next Monday night for the Raw Post Show. at 11 p.m. Eastern. It's at Wild Talk Radio, facebook.com/Wild Talk Radio Network. Chat if you have that Amazon Prime link to your Twitch account. It's called Prime Gaming. Support the show by clicking the purple rectangular button below the screen. You can also use carry code Rocksock or
Lin's M Ward
in the Fortnite item shop or Epic Game Store. Why?
Because we are hashtag Epic Partners. You can follow me on most of the social medias at Lin's Ward, LNSWD. You can check out my Twitch channel, twitch.tv/Lin's Ward. You can follow me over on YouTube, youtube.com/@Lin's Ward. And you can follow me over on TikTok, Lin's Ward Zero.
This has been The Wrong Poster, presented as always by MBG Films, youtube.com/MBG1211. We'll see you Thursday for The Rack 12 Years, and right back here for The Wrong Post Show, live. Long the airwaves, but Wild Talk Radio Network.
WildTalkRadio.com.